So Simon gave us a bit of overview as to the culture and the statistics related to our new generation. But I want to focus on the Bible and what God says and how God uses our youth. Because youth have always been used in the Bible. God has no regard for age. He doesn't just use youth. He doesn't just use older people, because he sees us from the inside out and not the outside in. So it doesn't matter how young or old our bodies are. What matters is, are we obedient? Are we willing? Are we passionate? Will we listen? I love our reading today. And the reason I picked it is because Jeremiah doesn't consider himself worthy. In verse 6, he says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." And immediately God rebukes him and says, "Don't say you're too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say what I command you to say. Don't be afraid, because I'll protect you." And Jeremiah went, and Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah said whatever God told him to say in whatever circumstance he was in. But he didn't consider himself worthy. He considered God was worthy. All he did was choose obedience. He chose to believe what God told him. And the Bible is full of examples. David was a younger brother. He wasn't old enough to go fight the Philistine army. He was looking after his dad's sheep. But God was preparing him for such a time as that. God knew David's heart. God knew how he was going to use David. So David is sent off to the battlefield to take food to his brothers. And while he's there, he sees the Philistine giant Goliath come out and taunt the Israelite army. He sees the Israelites drop their weapons and run away in fear. And he's just young. And what does he say? Well, 1 Samuel tells us, 27, he'll say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the army of the living God?" See, David knew that the battle was the Lord's. David knew that the Israelites could defeat them. The only difference between him and the Israelite army is they'd taken their eyes off God. So his brothers basically tell him, "Shut up and go home." And the army commanders say, "You can't fight him." But David trusted. David trusted God. David didn't think in his own strength he could do anything. He knew it was the army of God. And most of you will know the story that David defeated Goliath, went on to be one of arguably the greatest kings of all time. But he started as a youth who trusted God. How about Daniel and his friends? Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon. Bible scholars disagree as to how old he was at that time, but they place him somewhere between 8 and 17. The Bible tells us they wanted young men without physical defect, that were handsome, had an aptitude for learning, were quick to understand, and they were going to be trained to work in the king's palace. So they needed them young to bring them up the way they wanted them, to train them the way they wanted them. And they had 3 years of training. So they were young. But even at that young age, Daniel chose to obey God. And because he chose to obey God, he found favor in the eyes of foreign kings for decades. But as a child, he refused to eat the food that had been on the king's table, that had been offered sacrifice to idols. They had very strict dietary restrictions, the Jews, and He chose to follow them, but not in a way that he stomped his feet and shouted. God gave him grace. God gave him a gentle nature to approach and to ask in just the right way. And he spoke to the captain of the guard that was looking after them, and he said, just feed us vegetables and water. The guard wasn't big on that idea because he didn't want them to look weedly and starving. So for 10 days, he went along with them. And at the end of those 10 days, Daniel and his friends were healthier, brighter than the rest of them because God was involved, because God found favor. Because Daniel trusted and chose to be obedient. So the examples don't stop in the Old Testament. We go to the New Testament and look at Mary herself. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was probably 12 to 14 when she was betrothed to Joseph, because that was the age that Jewish girls got betrothed. And she has an encounter with God who tells her, you're carrying the Savior of the world. Pretty mind-blowing for anyone, never mind if you are a teenager. And she could have been stoned to death. She could have died, lost her life, because Joseph was in his right to have her stoned. She was pregnant and it wasn't his baby. But what did Mary do? She glorifies God. Luke 1:46, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She chose to be obedient. She didn't earn the right to be the mother of Jesus. She hadn't done anything so great to earn the right to be the mother of Jesus. But she was willing and she was obedient. 1 Timothy, story of Paul speaking to Timothy. And he says, don't let anyone put you down because of your age. But be an example to other believers in speech, in conduct, in love, grace, purity. Okay, so this is not just someone that's being used by God. Paul is saying, go be an example. Go be an example to other believers. And examples of God using youth doesn't stop in the Bible. Story of Katie Davis. She was an 18-year-old Christian in America. She graduated from high school and went on a mission trip to Uganda. While she was there, she felt called to stay in Uganda and work in the AIDS orphanage. And she stayed. And the orphanage burnt down. And Katie rented a house and took the orphans in. She returned to the States. She gave up her college place. She gave up her boyfriend. She started a charity. And she went back to Uganda. And at 22, she has adopted 13 Ugandan orphans and cares for them. She has her own charity. She wasn't equipped. She was an 18-year-old who chose to listen to God. She didn't know how it was going to come together, but she trusted that if God had called her there, then God was going to work out the details. And she's still there, and he's still working out the details. So why does God use youth? I think some of that has to do with the things that Simon was telling us. Youth question everything. God's not scared of questions. It means you're searching. When you stop asking questions, maybe you've stopped searching, because we're never going to have all the answers when it comes to God. Maybe it's because as we get older, we lose our priorities. We lose our first love. We get lukewarm. We get comfortable. We get familiar. We forget that God is our first love, that God is our passion, that we had that desire when we came to know God, to serve him and follow him and do whatever he asked. And we've let ourselves get busy. We've let ourselves get busy with life, with jobs, with families. It's not that those things aren't important. But Jesus is not the caboose that goes on the back of our train. He's the driver. And we're the passenger. And our youth get that. But how do we get youth that are passionate for God? How do we build up our youth? Well, it doesn't just happen. It starts when they're children. It starts with us teaching our children. It starts with us being authentic. It starts with us showing them the way. We nurture. We disciple. And they grow. And they grow into teenagers. And we're still authentic, and we don't act like we've got it all together or that we know everything. Because believe me, our youth know we don't know everything. They've got that sorted. And that's all right. We search together. We don't have to know everything. But we keep discipling, and we keep loving, and we keep being authentic. And we search our hearts to see what God's calling is for us. Because unless we know what we're called to do, unless we're passionate about God's work, how are the youth ever going to catch that passion? Children and youth ministry is underrepresented the world over, or at least in a lot of the countries I've been in. Look around you. We're not a small church. But do you know we struggle with volunteers in every children's and youth ministry? Do you know that I have teachers that never come to church because I don't have anyone to teach on the Sundays that they come to church? Do you know the only time that I come to church is when we're doing an all-age service or I'm preaching, because I have no one to teach the children? Do you know that from creche all the way up to Summit, we're short on volunteers? Do you know that on a Friday night, sometimes we have to think about turning kids away to keep our ratios safe? That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. How can we reach our kids and our youth if we don't put the time into them? How can we point our finger at them and tell them you're yobs? How can we tell them that they're not worthy if we haven't invested the time in them? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it if our kids don't turn out right? Right, the way we would want them. Whose fault? Now, not everyone is called to youth and children's ministry. And if you're not called to it, that's fine. But we're all called to something. If you are sat here today, you are called to something. Because Christianity is not a spectator sport. God hasn't called any of you to sit in that chair and do nothing. If you do not know what you're called to do, maybe it's because you haven't listened. And we're all guilty of that. So my challenge to you this week is to spend some time with God. Find out what passion God has put in your heart. Because what you are passionate about is what he has called you to. And then remember that whatever else you're busy with in your life, nothing usurps God's position. Nothing is as important as putting God first in your life. I don't want to guilt anyone into doing anything, because guilt is not the motivation. Love is God's motivation, and love should be our motivation.